The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But now, if you don't feel safe in a bus, why not take a robo-taxi? Ciara O'Brien is here to answer your tech questions this week, Jess being away. Good morning, Ciara.
Good morning.
You've been in a robo-taxi.
I have. Now, not a Tesla one, but I have been in a Waymo robo-taxi when I was in San Francisco last year. They had just opened it up, I think, to more people because it was a relatively small trial. And, you know, they test and they test and they retest all of these things. But I was there in August last year and we got a bit of a spin around in a Waymo cab. Now, first of all, these do not look like your standard cars. They are like the body of it is a standard car, but it has a reassuring amount of technology strapped to it.
So it's bristling with stuff.
It is. There's sensors all over. There's cameras all over because obviously these things have to react to, you know, say a child running across the road or a dog running across the road or, you know, a car stopping suddenly in front of
you. Did you feel safe?
I actually did. You know, it's actually the safest I've ever felt in a taxi in San Francisco. I've been in a lot of them. It's definitely the safest I've ever felt. And before that, now I'll be honest. Before that, I was like, nah, too weird. I love technology, but I also know its limitations, and I wasn't keen on trusting my safety to that regard. You know, getting into
now, how fast did it go?
Well, they stick to all the speed limits, you see.
Okay, so they're probably actually safer. But they could be doing 50 or 60 miles an hour.
I'm not sure what top speed, but like this is basically like a Jaguar I-Pace or a similar style car. So they're capable of speed, I suppose. But the thing is that they don't do it. They're not like, there's no human error to kind of take into account. Now, that doesn't stop other people crashing into them. So there's been a few incidents with Waymo taxis in and around the different areas where they've been testing them.
Okay, so they can't stop someone else. They can't trigger someone else's brakes.
They had something like, I think it was between 2021 and 2024. Now, admittedly, you know, obviously at the start there would have been a small number of them, but between 2021 and 2024, there was almost, I think, 700 incidents. Now, that's not all collisions, and it might be maybe that the car exhibited some weird behaviour and it was reported. And it also doesn't mean that the Waymo cab was at fault. In fact, most of them, I think they found that it was somebody had crashed into, anytime there was a collision involved, most of the time it was somebody had crashed into the car
rather.
Or it had hit something stationary like a pole or something that wasn't supposed to be there that didn't pick up. There was one incident where there was a Waymo involved in a fatal collision, but that was somebody had rear-ended the Waymo and the Waymo. It was like a chain reaction kind of a thing. So the Waymo wasn't actually a fault. So you're safer from than human drivers, really.
The reason we're talking about this is because, Tesla are going to have their results out tonight.
They are, and people are going to be watching very closely for two things. First of all, the talk of the kind of lower cost Tesla, because as we all know, Tesla sales have taken a bit of a knock for various reasons. The biggest one being its CEO and his political
antics.
Yes, in general, his antics, I think, have put people off, political or otherwise. And they're also going to be looking at the now, I think we're coming up on a decade nearly of the promise of robo-taxis. And, you know, they do have a dedicated autonomous taxi that they're looking at bringing out. I think it's by 2027, it's the Cybercab. It's weird looking. It's kind of like along the lines of, you know, the Cybertruck, that kind of definitely stands out as something different, but it's supposed to be completely autonomous, no driver, no steering wheel, two passengers, which kind of brings you to the point of what happens if there's more than two, you want to get a taxi. And the idea is that these will be completely autonomous. But for the last almost decade, I think 2016 was the first time we heard it, we've been told that Teslas will be fully autonomous. And, you know, if you had a Tesla, you would be able to send it off while you're not using it to make a bit of money on the side as a robo-taxi. Now, we're now in 2025. That has not happened yet for various reasons. First of all, full self-driving isn't a thing.
So we'll be waiting for news of the autonomous cab from Tesla. Also, the Cybertruck has had a number of recalls, which have question marks over it. And then the small car, will it be ready for this year or not?
Exactly. And I think this is going to be key, I suppose, to Tesla to going forward. You know, Tesla does have its fans, but there's fewer and fewer of them these days, I think.
Yeah, and some people are embarrassed now to be driving a Tesla and, you know, put stickers on the back saying, I bought this before Doge.
Yes, they're rebadging. So I saw one where somebody had rebadged it as a Toyota. And I think, look, you know, the Tesla is fairly distinctive. We don't have Cybertrucks here for various reasons. I don't think they conform to the safety standards. I think there was one that made it to the UK and you can't actually drive it there. But it's, you know, there are still a lot of people who love their Teslas. They love Tesla, but they hate Elon Musk as the figurehead for the company. And that's causing a few issues.
All right, text coming in. I was in a Waymo robo taxi in San Francisco last April. Absolutely loved it. It was great fun and it felt very safe. That's from Evelyn. So there you are.
I would, and you know, actually, there was an incident. There was a couple of incidents where around the time that I was actually in the Waymo taxis, they had to do a bit of a software update because it turns out that they were all the Waymos were congregating in this one car park in San Francisco, and they were kind of beeping and flashing their lights at each other. It was almost like a little Waymo get-together. But obviously, they're all robotic cars. There's nobody in them. But it was keeping the neighbours awake. So I thought that was kind of like an interest. It was a bit like Wall-E, you know?
All right. Now, questions coming in. This one from John. Can you please ask Ciara, is it worth upgrading from a Samsung S23 Ultra to the S25 Ultra?
Do you know, there is a bit of a jump between the two, more so than there obviously is between the S24 and the S25. But I would be tempted to hold on a little longer because people are holding onto their phones now for a lot longer than they used to.
And what's coming?
Well, there'll be the S26 later this year. So I would actually, at this point, I don't buy phones past April because there is going to be a new phone coming. And I would hold off until that because, to be honest, the S23 is a good phone. The Ultra is a great phone. The S25 Ultra is fabulous, but I would wait and see what's coming with the S26 because it's not that long to wait.
The S25 has AI built in, has it?
But so yeah, the S23, you can access a lot of the AI features. And to be honest, for a lot of people, the AI features, they're not quite essential yet, you know. Okay. I mean, I've been using Apple Intelligence on my iPhone. I use Google's built-in AI features, a lot of which is what you will get on the Samsung phones, and they're handy, but like they wouldn't be a reason for me to buy a phone just yet.
My LG TV has lost its voice command function. When I go into the settings, they seem to be gone. Has anyone else experienced this?
That's a new one now. I haven't heard that one before, but I will look into that and come back to it.
Yeah, it's interesting that the actual bit on the menu is gone.
Yeah, it's unusual for it to disappear. So I'd have to check into, first of all, if they can send in the exact model and let me know what the exact model is.
Because often these machines have automatic updates off your Wi-Fi. And
it could be a software update has gone a bit rogue. So we'll see. Okay. If they can send that in, I'll definitely look into that for them.
My Gmail is constantly alerting me that it's 99% full and warning about not receiving emails unless I pay them. I'm skeptical of this, as last week storage jumped from around 75% to 90%. Google Photos seems to have taken up a lot of space according to the Gmail alert, although I've never saved any pics to Google. I deleted Google Photos on my phone, but this did not change the storage issue.
It's not going to, if you delete it on your phone, it's not going to change the fact that something somewhere has told your photos to back up to your Google account. So I have the same problem. I actually pay €2 a month for my storage now because I just got sick of trying to delete videos. But what's happened is somewhere along the way, one of your folders for your photographs has been told to back up to the cloud, and that's what's taken up all your space. So what I would do is, there is a setting, if you go into Google One, there is a setting that shows you what is taking up all your storage. If you click on the Google Photos part of it, it will show you the biggest files. And I would delete the ones you don't need. And a lot of the time what you'll find is they're duplicate files.
Can you go in simply and remove all duplicates?
You can't. Yeah, there's actually tools that will remove duplicates. They will save the highest quality one and they'll merge them into one so that you're not losing out on anything. But also, I would look at videos. Forget about photos and forget about Gmail. Look at videos first. Videos are always the culprit. And it's where you'll get the biggest bang for your buck. And when you actually start deleting things, you will free up an awful lot of space by deleting videos and memes. And check your WhatsApp settings and make sure that you're not saving every single bit of media that somebody sends you in your group chats directly to your phone, because that's also backing up to the cloud.
It strikes me that, you know, the cloud, of course, is data centers.
Yes.
And we're all sharing these things online, you know, every meme, every joke we share.
Yep.
That's all going into the cloud.
It is. And that has a carbon footprint as well. And we talk about the carbon footprint of AI. We don't talk about the carbon footprint of the emails we have from 2006. And I'm guilty of that one myself. I went and did a bit of a spring clean fairly recently and I found emails from 2007 and 2008 that were work-related about Anglo-Irish Bank. And we all know what happened there. So I think they are now irrelevant. They got cleared out.
If I buy a refurbished phone or laptop, what's the position with update patches being discontinued?
So I am a fan of refurbished technology, but you do have to be careful because when you buy refurbished, obviously you have a guarantee. You have the same rights in terms of it has to be fit for purpose and it has to be as described as you do if you buy new. So any damage has to be marked on it. But when it comes to software, the companies that make it will say, yes, we will support this for 7 years from X date.
Yeah.
So you should get those software patches. But when that time is up, that time is up. And it doesn't matter if you bought it, if you bought it new and you bought it 2 years after
so
it came out.
So if it's a five-year-old phone, which is still in great nick,
yep.
You've only got 2 years left, maybe.
You might, yes. Some phones now support for 7 or 8 years. So, yeah, you could only have. So just be aware. And there are tools online. If you go to Which, the consumer publication, they actually have a list of when phones go out of support. It's very important that your phone is, particularly for security patches, whatever about operating system, we can all live with last year's operating system. Security patches is the key. So you want to make sure that if you are doing banking on your phone, if you are handing over all this data, you're doing all these things that are basically has a lot of private data on it. Yeah. You want to make sure it's as safe and secure as possible. So the security patches is the key one to look at.
And check that out with Which Magazine. Great stuff. Ciara O'Brien, thank you very much for joining us this week and answering the questions. That's all we have time for. Don't forget our items from today are uploaded as podcasts, which you can listen to in the Newstalk app powered by Go Loud. Just search for The Pat Kenny Show.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.